Have you ever stopped just for a moment and say, God, I thank you. I just really want to thank you, even when things aren't going so well. And yet we offer up our prayers to God, but we thank him in the end. But do we thank him even at the beginning? Because I assure you, it will make a difference in how you're praying. But that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. Everything God did for them, they began to complain. They began to find ways of misery that we couldn't even begin to talk about this morning and have time. But yet we all find ourselves in similar situations. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, I want to read it in the Amplified Bible. It says, speak out to one another. We'll put it on the screen. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. And at all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. And yet the reality is that's something, again, even in the Amplified, that gives emphasis to our life. Al Denson, who was a famous singer and worship leader, amazing. I used to go to these counseling conferences in Tennessee that I had to go to annually, and he was always chosen to be the worship leader, and his whole band was there. But he said, his own words, he says, throughout history, tragic events have sometimes given way to beautiful artistic works. The grief of a devoted husband with the impetus behind him, that architecture in his life, all of a sudden finds himself in grief. He says, the terrible events of even in the past inspired Bruce Springsteen to write and record a song, The Rising, which critics are hailing as one of his best albums at that time. It was a personal tragedy that served as a catalyst for much of the music on even Al Denson's release with One Voice. Several years ago, Al's brother died unexpectedly of a blood clot just before the release of Al's Spring Hill Music Project From This Day On, and Al was so close to his brother, but yet that sudden loss to him was devastating. After that, he couldn't even write music. He couldn't even write songs. And he said in his own words, my whole life, ideas for songs have always come in the middle of the night, said Al, like between midnight and 5 a.m. in the morning. That's the time we're supposed to be sleeping, right? He says, that's just the way it works with me, but this time, nothing was coming out. But he had a conversation with a dear friend and mentor and told him, instead of trying to write, just sing hymns to God. Just give praise to God. Just be thankful to God. And don't even think about trying to write anything. Just give thanks to God. So that's what he did. And night after night, instead of trying to write, he pulled out hymnals and sang songs like Great is Thy Faithfulness, or How Great Thou Art, and I Surrender All. And over a period of time, then his music and his writing began to take new life once again. You see, it's all about that perspective in our life. And what kind of perspective do we have? Well, we need a lot of help there. In fact, Al Denson also said, he says that in the National Hymn Book of Israel, it contains 150 poems or songs. They were set to music, and worship was the central theme of them all. The Psalms magnify the Lord. In fact, he said, if you flip open your Bible to the middle, you're going to be in the Psalms. And he says, the reality is, that's to be in the center of our heart, giving thanks and praise to the Lord. And so, in everything, well, now I believe that there's three attitudes that steal our gratitude. And what are they? Well, three things that can keep us from being thankful. One is pride. You see, that's an attitude that says, nobody ever gave me anything, and I worked hard for what I've got. Therefore, I worked hard, I studied hard, so why should I be thankful to anybody else? It was me. Another attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit. It's that constant complaining instead of being grateful. And yet, I'm reminded of something I read about a lady known as an incurable grumbler, constantly complained about everything in her life. At last, her preacher thought he had found something about which she could be happy, for her farm crop was the finest in miles around. When he met her, he said with a beaming smile, "You must be very happy, Mary. Everyone is saying how healthy your potatoes look this year." And she said, "True, that's pretty good. But what am I going to do now when I need the bad ones to feed the pigs?" I mean, there's always something negative to look at. But a third attitude that keeps us from being grateful is carelessness. Someone once said that if the stars only came out once a year, we would stay out all night to watch them, but they are there on a regular basis. So we don't really look up and give thanks. And that was one of the problems. The Israelites grumbled because they didn't have the food that they liked, and so God provided, but it wasn't what they wanted. They had miracles straight from God, but at the same time, they were no longer satisfied with those miracles. In fact, Kipling was a great writer and a poet whose writings we've all enjoyed at one time or another, but unlike many writers, or many old writers, Kipling was one of the few who had the opportunity to enjoy his success while he was still alive. He also made a great deal of money at his particular trade. And one day a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make with your writings amounts to over $100 a word." Amazing. Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." Then the reporter cynically reached down into his pocket, pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling and said, "Here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now, give me one of those $100 words." Mr. Kipling looked at him, kind of a surprise, and then took the $100 bill, folded it up, put it in his pocket, and he said, "Thanks." You know, that's all that needs to be said. And yet, he's right. The word thanks certainly is that $100 word. As a matter of fact, there are three things I want to share with you this morning about gratitude and thankfulness. That first of all, our gratitude should be expressed. This is something that's up to you. It's not up to your neighbor. In fact, sometimes, though, our neighbor's got to remind us. And there's a few times where I've told people when I noticed that they were grumbling and complaining, I go, "You know what? You need to express gratitude. It'll make a big difference." And of course, sometimes I had to say that to myself, but we should express our thanks to God and others. And one of the things that we need to be recognized is that a thankful heart glorifies God. In fact, it truly does. Every time we are thankful to God, it gives Him honor, praise, and glory. But yet, the reality is, in church, we often say, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving in your heart," as David said in Psalm 107, so we should express thanks to God and others. It glorifies Him. And yet, our opportunity is right in front of us, and we can do that today. A class I'd taken on the area of stress in the past that was by psychologist Hans Selye, who actually was the one who invented the term stress and gave us all the clinical definitions of what it was to be about. And he says, though, if we're not grateful, if we do not express our thanksgiving, then it can have a bad effect in our life. And yet he went on to say that when we're grateful, it could relieve our life of stress. So when you're grateful, it could take some of that stress away. And how important this is? Well, it's extremely important because stress is a killer. And yet the reality is thankfulness and gratitude is a lifesaver. But secondly, a thankful heart will endear us to others and also endear others to us. In fact, we need to take time to express our gratitude to those who are faithful. Amen? In fact, who are kind, who take time to express interest in us, it blesses us and them. And I caught some people off guard this last week because I just, people that I know, I just told them, "I want to thank you for a certain thing." And they looked at me like, "Well, why? You were the one who did this for me." I know, but I just want to thank you. And they just looked at me like, "Oh, okay." And I hope personally that I might have started something in their heart. C.S. Lewis said that just as a car is made to run on gas, God made us to run on Himself. God is powerful. He's sovereign and holy. And we receive all that we have from Him. So we give Him glory, but it also brings about a change in our heart. And others want to be around us. Now, when you got an ungrateful person who's unthankful, who has no gratitude at all, they're no fun to be around. Amen? In fact, I'm not going to name anybody, of course. But I sometimes have been that way, but it's no fun to be around. But when I go in my house, I got two dogs that their tails literally wag right off their body just to see my wife there or me there. Now, mostly for her, not so much for me. And I've got one who's closer to her. Every time I call him, he just doesn't want to come. He's a little older, but the other one is all over it. She spins around in circles, ready to go. And for that reason, I really take a moment to pet her and give her thanks too. But we can say thank you to God when we also spend time with Him. In fact, the reality is when you spend time with God, just taking time out, and not just 1 hour a week or an hour and a half when you go to church, but to just take a moment and just pray to Him. And I know some of you who have those long drives in the traffic, and you tell me this, that you listen to this program or that program, and it really encourages you. And sometimes it's just music and praise music. But it gives you a whole different feeling to begin your day with. And yet, sometimes when we're listening to the news, guess what? We get that grumpy attitude, and it begins to permeate our life. But we can say thank you to God when you forgive others. In fact, it's good to let go of some of those issues. And yet, God has forgiven us, right? Well, we're supposed to forgive others. But sometimes, well, I'm not going to forgive them till I get my justice done. Or they fully repent and I can see it. And yet the Bible does say, if they repent, forgive. But you know, sometimes we can start off where we show our forgiveness in our heart. We reach out to them. But if you shut it down, you don't even give them an opportunity to change anything. If you turn it off and just stay away, well, I'm not talking to those people, and I'm not going to shake their hand, I'm not going to give them a hug. As soon as we do that, we shut down and we harbor bitterness in our heart, which is far worse than perhaps the hurt you may have experienced. So it's a good thing in your own heart to forgive them and to let it not just be ignored, but to just reach out and show in your own heart that you truly are the person you want to be, and you truly are the person who's setting the example of what they need to be. And then hopefully they'll see the difference. But also, we can say thank you to God when you serve in His church. It's all part of that relationship when we serve others. And yet, as we get to do that, yesterday there were several who came out to do the Walk for Good News. And it was a blessing. And I was smarter this time. Pastor Todd always does this. He always puts on his little run meter or his walk meter app on his phone. So I did it. And I was so excited just because we were hanging these things on doors. That was one thing. My wife and I were praying about that. But I was keeping track of how much I walked. And I felt really good. And I go, you know what? We need to do more of this. And there's a good reason to do it. But if I'm just going to walk around, okay, never mind. But when you serve in His church, when you're doing something for God, it's such a blessing. But we can say thank you to God also when we share His plan of salvation to others, when you share the Lord. And in fact, I had an opportunity to do this, well, several times I do. And it's such a blessing because when I see somebody's hurting, I pray for them and I reach out to them, yes, but I also in that plan of just sharing, well, what made a difference in my life is the Lord, Jesus Christ. And they always tell me, oh, I got religion, I go to church, I got this and I got that. Well, really, do you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? There's where the difference is. That's what makes the difference. But also, fifthly, when we reach out to hurting people, and there's a lot of them, they're all around you. And sometimes we simply say, I don't have time, or I don't want to. I was talking to a man the other day when I was at a job site, and the individual I know is a strong believer, and I've known him for a while. I was introduced for him a long time ago. And he came up to me and he goes, Pastor, he says, this Thanksgiving, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite all these people over to my house, and I'm going to feed them, and I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to let them know that how, even though they hurt right now, God can even take care of their hurts. And I said, really? And he says, and I'm going to go around the table and everybody's going to express their thanks. And you know, I thought, wow, praise the Lord. It's catching on, this attitude. We need to give thanks to the Lord. Our gratitude should be expressed. And when we do it, we're giving thanks to God through that whole process. But we can say thank you to God when we give Him our first fruits too. When we give Him of our life and we say to God, God, here, You've blessed me and you provided this for me, I'm going to give of the first fruits to You because You blessed me with it. And not the last fruits, but the first fruits. The Bible promises a special blessing when you do, because all the rest then is blessed by God. And yet, if you just looked at it and counted it all up, you go, this would be a little different attitude. But yet, when we do give our first fruits, we're trusting Him. We're giving thanks to God. for what he provided. But seventhly, when you praise him enthusiastically from the heart, when you just take that moment and you just worship God in your thanksgiving, and you could do that so easily, and so often we overlook it. And yet that's when you say thank you to God. It's when we do these things. But also our gratitude, secondly, should be expansive. It should include the blessings of life because he's blessed us so much. And as our thanksgiving expands, it should include these three things. First of all, the blessings of life and how he's blessed us with life. I thank God for how he's healed me and how he's made my life different and given me energy. And sometimes I wonder, I was talking to somebody this week whom I know very well, and he says, and I says, well, remember, I'm 68 years old. And he goes, you're 68? He says, you don't act like it. And I go, good. And he goes, and you don't look like it. I go, good, that's even better. Now you're extra points in my life. You've got extra ones there. You know how I really love my wife? She's a special lady. And I thank God for her, but she's truly a blessing. One thing that is really special is she stands in our kitchen and thanks God for the dirty dishes in the sink. No, she doesn't. I don't know any woman who does. But I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful to her because she doesn't ask me very often to help her in that area. Now, she knows part of my life. I grew up doing dishes all the time. I don't know if about in your house, but that was my chore. And the one thing I hated was the pots and pans. So I would hide them. And because if I couldn't get them clean, I just hid them. Pretty soon my mom was going, where's the pans for this? Where's the pans for that? Oh, well, they're around here somewhere. And then I would always get caught and get in trouble, and I'd have to scrub out all those pots and pans. But in the Marine Corps, you see, I found out in the Marine Corps that every Marine has to serve 30 days mess duty no matter where you're at, in wartime or in the area here. And so I thought, I hate dishes. Oh, gosh, I hate dishes. And so I grew up doing them. I said, I'm not going to do it here. So before it came to be my time when I was stationed in Barstow, I was coming up on the time I'd be there almost a year, and I had to serve 30 days. So I went into my captain. I said, you know, Vietnam is starting up. Do they need my particular MOS? Do they need what I do? He goes, as a matter of fact, they do. They need somebody. The 1st Division is going to be going, but you want to go on? And he goes, yeah, I'm ready to go. And he says, okay. He says, take a little leave and then go. And I says, out of mess duty. I didn't have to do it. So I got on an airplane and got into some special training after that. Well, then I got on a plane after the training and flew to Vietnam. And I was there before the whole division arrived. And that was an experience. I'm by myself with a couple of other guys all alone in Vietnam with all these tents. I'm going, boy, that was a brave comment. Dishes would have been better. But that was okay. I didn't have to do them. So then in Vietnam, they told me, well, when you're here a year, because I had extended, you're going to have to do mess duty. And I go, oh, you know what? What if I stay a little longer? And they go, you want to stay a little longer? Yeah, sign me up a little longer. So they signed me up, got out of mess duty. And then I got enough rank where no more mess duty. So then when I got married, I said to my wife, no mess duty. No, I did not. But yet I do help. Okay, I don't want to give you the total wrong impression, but not a whole lot. She takes care of it, and I'm so thankful. I thank God that she allows me that privilege. But she allows me to do the work I do. And so while she's doing one thing, I'm doing another thing. But secondly, our thanksgiving should also include the burdens of life. And we all have them. I know there's not a person in this room or the ones that will be in here later who don't have a burden in life. And yeah, that's a tough one. Because Paul the Apostle said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. And we read that a little earlier in the text I gave you in Ephesians, where it says, always giving thanks. And we're not always giving thanks. And you would think, Paul must have made a mistake. Look at what happened to that guy. I mean, he suffered from some difficult problems. And yet, at one time, he was given a thorn in the flesh. And yet, you'd thank God for that. Well, God told him that his grace was sufficient for him. And in there, Paul could give thanks. But he said one time in Romans 8:18, I consider that my present sufferings are not worthy comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. So he saw himself in a different position, that what he went through in life God was going to make something out of that better than whatever he experienced. But you know, we're so short-sighted. We think this trial is the biggest trial of my life. But you can look beyond that trial. There was a time in my life where I almost lost my marriage in the first 5 years. And I wasn't walking with God. I didn't want to walk with God at that time. I was just busy as a contractor. And then God spoke to me one night. And he broke my heart and he broke my life down. And he told me how I needed to serve him for the rest of my life. And I made that choice to do just that. And then I was so thankful that God allowed my wife to begin to love me once again. And I'm so thankful to God for that. You know, God can heal anything, but it took time. And it takes time in our life. But while we're going through those tough times, are we ready to be truly thankful? Do we show that appreciation? In 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says, I delight in my weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecution and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. We can be thankful for a lot of things. Philippians 1:12 says, Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, and yet giving thanks. And yet I'm also reminded in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, where the Philippian jailer was ready to take his life because, and then an earthquake freed the prisoners. But what saved him was the attitude of Peter and Silas during their imprisonment. There they were in jail. And there was an earthquake, and it shook, and the doors were open. But what were they doing? They were singing and praising God while they were in the midst of that circumstance. You go, I don't have that much faith, Pastor, to be able to do that. But you know what? If we do get to that point and be thankful, not for our immediate situation, but thankful that God is greater than every circumstance I face in my life. And yet, within that, I realized that that whole family came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet in our own life, how many times where people say we got a joyful attitude, a thankful attitude, a gratitude attitude. And when we do, people around us are amazed. In fact, I had a lady yesterday who lives not too far away from me. She hardly ever used to ever talk to me, but she saw me out cleaning in the garage and she goes, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to fix this garage door opener. It isn't working right. And she goes, it's sometimes better to buy a new one. I go, well, actually, I can fix it. I just believe because God will help me. She says, that's a good attitude. And I go, really? Yeah, because she used to walk with God, but she and her family don't anymore. So I hope I caused something in her life. I also had an opportunity with another man that doesn't live exactly where I live, but over across the way, but he walks his dog. And I got to know him, and he's a senior citizen, truly a senior citizen. And he knows the Lord, and he says he watches us. He might even be watching this morning. I pray he is. His name is Paul. And yet, he called me up one day, and his son-in-law was in the hospital dying with liver cancer. And he's actually a Superior Court judge and has a young family. And so he asked me to talk to him, so I did. And I asked him, I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? As I said, after I prayed for him, he thought, that's very nice of you. And I go, well, I did it for a reason. He goes, what? I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He said, no. And I said, can I lead you to the Lord? Can I pray with you for that too? And he says, yes. And I prayed with him to receive the Lord. And his cancer went into remission, but I was told recently, And this was about, well, a little over a year and a half ago, and I was told recently that his cancer has come back, and so I've been praying for this man. He can no longer work on the bench, and yet he is somewhat retired now, and he's praying for God to work a miracle. But also, it could be expansive because it includes the benefits of life. When the Israelites focused on what they didn't have, they failed to see all that they did have. And how often we're in the same position. You know, we're talking about what we don't have, but yet God has blessed you. And you say, well, where are the blessings? Well, you got a chair to sit on this morning. That's better than some. And yet you're in a nice facility. And guess what? There's nice people around you. And we got one of the greatest worship teams that I think we could have. And we got great people in this church, and we got a lot of servants of God. And they'll even take your kids and minister to them, Jesus Christ. Yet, I'm reminded, though, an experiment was done in New York Central Park where an advertising firm dressed a man up as a blind man and gave him a cup to collect money. And one day, they put a sign around his neck that said, I'm blind. On that day, he collected about $4. The next day, they dressed him up the same way, place them in the same place, but change the sign to read, "It's spring and I'm blind." That day he collected nearly $40. And the study went on with this advertising firm. It's they realized that the reality is that how blessed the people were that they could see the beauty around them. And even though this person couldn't see, so they were willing to do something for him. And I think that attitude can go a long ways in our life. But lastly, this morning, our gratitude is expected. In fact, this is the mark of a growing Christian. And you really, when we don't have it, then you're not growing. So it's important that we be growing with the Lord. If you talk about a growing Christian, think about the opposite. How about a baby Christian? A baby is ungrateful. You've seen little children, little babies, they're ungrateful. In fact, you can take a little baby when it has colic and walk the floor with them for hours and put that baby down, and they don't say thank you when you're all done. In fact, if you get fortunate, when they get older, they might say thank you. It took quite a few years before my kids started saying thank you to their mom and dad. They started off with her, and then finally they got to me. And yet sometimes they say, why did you do this? Well, anyhow, that's beside the point. When we realize how blessed we are by others. And when we see that and we express that, we are truly growing. But also it's the mark of a giving Christian. You see, that attitude of gratitude is there. And when it's there, people don't mind giving of themselves, giving of them time, giving to serve, giving even of their finances. When you go to a restaurant, you know, you bless and give a tip. But how many times could you just take a tip this morning and say to somebody around here serving, even the ushers, and say, thank you. Thank you for your service. And I got so blessed. When all this started working on me, I was at a function where I was invited with all these little children at a school. There was nearly 300 of them, and they all held up these posters saying thank you, and it was for the military on Veterans Day, and they were saying thank you, and it so touched my heart. I go, you know what? We don't say thank you enough to people, and it's not just the military. It's other people. In fact, James 1:17 says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, and if it does, then why don't we show it? Thirdly, this is the mark of a grateful Christian and truly a believer, no matter what's going on. In fact, Henry Frost served for many years as a missionary to China. And in his journal, he wrote of a very difficult time that he went through in his life. And he said, quote, "I had received sad news from home, and deep shadows covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish away. I summoned myself to endure it, but the darkness only deepened. And then I went to an inland station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, try Thanksgiving." Would you say try Thanksgiving? He says, "I did. And a moment, every shadow was gone and never to return." And maybe that's why the Bible also says to give thanks to the Lord. But you know, gratitude is as gratitude does. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son in the NIV, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but should have everlasting life. The Father God reaching out to you and I, a nobody and somebody who didn't even worship God at one point in our life, and he was willing to give to us. But yet, when we think of the Lord Jesus, he also gave. In fact, the Bible tells us, and we're going to receive communion in just a moment, where it tells us that he gave thanks. But right now, I'd like to take a moment. I wanted to make this a very short message because I also wanted you to express your thanksgiving. And I would love to hear it. I'm sure it'll be a blessing. So maybe you got something you could be thankful for. So I'd like to have about 7 of you come up to the front. And don't be bashful and shy, or I'll come out there and get you. I want you to come up and give thanks, Lord. I said enough about giving thanks. It's a command of God. So come on. I need 7 of you right here. Come on. Okay, we got 1 brave soul, 2. Come on. You got something to be thankful for. It's an opportunity to do it. Come on. Boy, this is the hardest crowd. Do I have to make you bow your heads and raise your hand and pray for you to get you to come up? Or maybe I should start the message all over again. Okay. We'll start right here. Okay, this is enough. Tell us your name and also what you're thankful for. Hold on. You're thankful because the mic doesn't work? It should. Okay, there's no sound man. I'm thankful there's no sound man this morning. No. Pastor Todd's going over there right now. Just look at him, everybody. Just stare at him. This is good.
Justy. My name's Eva, and I'm thankful that this year the Lord's returned our son back to our home and our family.
Yeah, praise the Lord. What a blessing. We had prayed for that.
Well, I just give, I'm Ray, and I just give thanks for my family and a beautiful wife that I've had for over 30 years now. And, of course, this extended family. You all mean a lot to me. Thank you.
And you mean a lot to us. Yeah.
My name's Dave, and I'm thankful that a little over a year ago, the Lord, through difficult trials, led me back to Him. And I can overcome anything with Him. And I'm thankful for that.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
My name's Irene, and I'm grateful for so many things, but I'm so grateful for all the faithful servants we have in this church. People even right now who are working so hard to get ready for the lunch. There's so many unseen servants of the Lord here. And so when you get tired, just look around and realize there's countless people giving a lot of time that's never seen. Yeah. I'm just so encouraged and grateful.
Yes.
I'm Vivian, and I am so thankful for being here, and I mean here in this home. Thankful that even though we have a lot of problems and things that may never change in our life, I'm still thankful because it's shown me to get closer to the Lord and to be thankful for that. Thankful for my salvation. Thankful for all of you because you're here and you're my friends and you have to be and you have to love me because God said. But
amen.
Amen. But truly, I would encourage you all to, in spite of what's going on, and I'm not going to take Dave's position here, but in spite of what's going on in your lives right now, and I know that everybody has something, as Pastor Davis said, to be thankful for what you do have. Because we have more than most people have all over the world, and we don't even see it. So that's what I look forward to. And I thank you all for being my friends and for loving me. Thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, I almost asked her to come up here and finish the message. But, okay, I want you to look at your Bible. Keep that on the screen. And we're going to actually, that's what we're going to go on the screen. Open up your Bibles real quickly to Luke 22. And I want to show you something once again because we love the Lord. We've expressed that a lot here this morning. But in Luke 22, beginning at verse 14, and if you put your Bible away and everything and you can't find it, I'll just read it. It says, when the hour had come, he sat down, Jesus did, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup and gave thanks. The word thanks there comes from, it comes actually out of the Old Testament, but translated into Greek, and it means extending your hands. In other words, surrendering everything you are. And sometimes you just got to surrender everything you are to give thanks. But he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourself. Then I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread and he gave thanks once again. He extended his hands, his heart, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And you know, he's brought us salvation, brought us deliverance. He's there when we need him. His presence is always in us like electricity in a lamp. But praise is the switch that turns on the power. And when we give him praise or thanksgiving or just that whole gratitude is as gratitude does, when we do that, he is blessed. He is glorified. And we get blessed in return. And now this morning, they're going to be...